Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You're very welcome along to the GR with me, Darren O'Sullivan. I'm delighted to be joined by my two compadres, Niall McIntyre and Lee Costello. Boys, how are we doing?
Good, Darren. I can't complain.
Good, Darren. Good.
Yeah, another exciting weekend of league football anyway. And I suppose the story of the campaign, story of last weekend anyway, and probably the last couple of weeks, Loud, Mickey Hart weaving his magic as usual. Had a tough start to league. We're unlucky. But lads, they've been absolutely flying, and there is a very slim, but it is a possibility that they might get promoted.
Well, isn't it great that they have the chance? And like, you can only imagine the excitement that's going to be around Loud this whole week. Like, when they're thinking, you know, with a game against Dublin, this is win or bust. Like, and we have a chance here. You know, Mickey Park took over Loud, and they were in Division Four. That was the COVID year, split it with Antrim, and then won Division 3 last year, beat Limerick, back up this year, Division 2, and lose the first two games, and you're thinking, we could be in a bit of bother here, but no panic, and they've won four on the bounce now, and even Sam Mulroy injured last week, and there's other lads stepping up, there's an even spread of scores. Tommy Dernan is a man on fire and was given a standing ovation when he went off the field the other day. So, Mickey is working his magic.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, Lee, to be fair. And like Niall said, to come up, lose your first two league games, and it didn't really knock a stir off them. Do you know, they've just kind of gone from strength to strength. I suppose they're a great example for other teams what can be done when you buy in. And like that, they've had a bit of a blow with Sam Mulroy being out injured, and obviously Conor Grimes going off the last day. Hopefully, I'm not sure how good or bad the injury is, but hopefully he might be able to play some part against Dublin. But look, do you know what? It adds a bit of excitement. There's another team in the mix. They're going in the right direction. They're playing good stuff. So it's all positively.
Yeah, no, definitely. Especially because, you know, when this campaign started, we just thought Dublin were a sure thing. They're definitely the team that's going to walk this league. They're going to get promoted. The question was who'll get promoted with them. But it was sort of role reversal with Derry became that team, and now Dublin are still under a bit of threat. It's probably good for them too, to a certain degree, that they've got, you know, competitive football still left, you know, right to the end of the league, because they'll need it going into Leinster. I'm really happy for Mickey Hart, genuinely, because I think he got a hard time towards the end of his tenure at Tyrone. You know, like, the pitchforks were out, you know, like, the people in Tyrone sort of they had enough. They felt like they were just sort of done with that style of football. And then when you hear the players now that he's left, like players like Darren McCurry had even came out and said he wouldn't have came back if Mickey Hart was in charge for another year and stuff. But you're not going to get that with a much smaller county, in the sense that, like, and it's no disrespect to anyone, but Mickey Hart is the biggest star in that whole county, nearly, you know, like, he was more famous than any of them players, sort of. So he getting the buy-in was probably the easiest thing. And then, because he got it so totally, like full commitment, full pelt, what he says goes, they're just getting the best of it. And you look at other teams that definitely, it looks like the buy-in, you know, Ray Dempsey obviously had an issue there. When you don't get that buy-in, it can be disastrous, but now they're fully committed to it, and he'll have them boys convinced that they can get the win on Dublin. Like he's brilliant at his man management and building confidence, and it'd be great to see. Like,
yeah, it is, and like you said, buy-in, confidence, they're just going about it the right way. And like, I suppose Division 3 and Division 4, like, there's so much to play for at the moment in all the divisions. It's just it's going to make for a great last weekend. Obviously, we'll get to Division 1 later, Niall, but a couple of big results down in Division 3 as well.
Yeah, been a huge one in Division 4. Leitrim beating Laois. It was a must-win for Leitrim after they'd lost the last round. And, you know, it was tight. With an hour gone, the teams were level. And, you know, these two teams level on points now and very tight, vying for promotion. Keith Byrne stepped up at a 45 and a free, and Mark Plunkett scored a brilliant point late on as well. So, you know, a huge, huge win for Leitrim. Keeps them alive. They have a blockbuster game next weekend against Sligo. So their biggest rivals, their neighbours. The teams went to the penalty shootout in the Tailteann Cup last year. So this is obviously it's actually a must win. Like you'd think Sligo, when they're clear on 10 points, you'd think they'd have enough done, and they're going to get into the final. But as it turns out, if they lose to Leitrim and Laois, who are playing London, and you'd expect them to beat London, then when it comes down to points difference, Sligo will actually be out. So it's a bit of a, you know, it's all going to be very exciting in Division 4 next weekend. So looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's good to have all these divisions and so much play for. And like that, there was a couple of upsets, maybe. Would we call them upsets in Division 3, Lee? So a lot to play for there as well. And maybe an unexpected, I thought it was an unexpected win by Antrim at home to Cavan. Things weren't going well in Antrim. But that's a big result.
No, it's massive.
For Manor getting another big win.
Yeah, I think I said last week that Andy McEntee was under pressure, so that's what I get. He comes straight out. He obviously listens to the podcast.
You don't learn from me. Never make predictions. No. It just doesn't work out for anyone.
But I was really expecting Antrim to have a big season, because I thought Enda McGinley had got them into sort of a good, steady situation. Like they looked a strong team. They were unearthing sort of lots of new players, and Andy McEntee obviously had great success with me. People, because of the way it ended, people sort of forget how it started. You know, I think he got them into Division 1 and stuff, and he's obviously a really good manager, so I was hoping he would bring some sort of stability to them. And I guess yesterday we've finally seen the best of them. It was a high scoring game. Cavan are flying. I think they're already, you know, got promoted. They'll be really, you know, like they'll be big contenders in Ulster Championship this year. So for Antrim to even just mentally getting that over the line, and it always helps to get a win over an Ulster team as well. It means, first of all, securing their status in Division 3, massive, because if they hadn't went down, like, I mean, I don't know, it'd have been disastrous, and there's no other word for it. So yeah, pleased for Antrim, and happy to see Andy McEntee getting the job done.
Yeah, and obviously Fermanagh then beating Westmeath. So they're on a great run of form as well, Niall. So like that, lots to play for again next week in Division 3. So it's exciting, and it's good to have these games. Pity we don't see more of them, to be fair, but that's an argument for another day. We won't go there today. But yeah, look, it's all good. It's all exciting. A lot of teams coming into form at the right time. And I suppose a few teams maybe probably starting to get a bit worried about the form going into the championship. Only one round left. Some teams are up very quickly. I think it's kind of weird. I can't really wrap my head around it that the league ends and championship happens so soon. And so I think it is going to be one of these things that we'll never be happy with it. But like, I can't figure out a lot of teams. Are they trying to peak? Are they just playing poor? Or is it a master plan? I'm doing rabbit ears here as well, by the way. And so, look, we'll go up to Division 1, and one of them teams, Armagh, so Galway and Armagh the weekend, Armagh have just been really poor this league compared to what, I suppose, what we were expecting to see from them. So they were kind of free spirit last year, playing attacking football, lovely forwards. And this year, it's just ugly. On the other hand, Galway, I think, have probably shown that they have, that they've got more depth. I think that was one worry I would have had about Galway last year. They didn't think their squad was strong enough. I thought when they were looking to bring fellas off the line, off the bench, there wasn't much coming on. But they've added a few bodies. Obviously, Shane Walsh and Combe are missing a lot of the league. You'd say it's a bad thing, but it was actually a great thing for them. The boys got a break. Obviously, Combe was injured, but Shane got a break. And then you fellas standing up, and we've mentioned the lads before, but they're in a really, really good place at the moment compared to Armagh. So, like, Armagh are in danger of going down next weekend as well. Their form just isn't good. They're playing a Tyrone team who are, after turning it around the last couple of weeks, but the game the weekend, it was very poor, and I don't know where to start with it. I just can't make Armagh out at the moment.
Yeah, Armagh were probably the most exciting team in the championship last year, and this year it's kind of gone completely the other way. They're extremely defensive. There's a lot of caution in their play. I suppose it's best summed up nearly by the fact that Rian O'Neill is back in his midfield, even in his defence, for a lot of the game. He's barely getting his hands on the ball. Like Armagh, but just remembering and looking back on matches last summer, you know, you can think of the ball being kicked in, and it was an exciting kind of, there was something different about their attack and play. They'd diagonal balls, all this year it's just everyone back defending, and you know, it's not working for them. Like, it was, they were winning at half time, but they had a gale at their backs, and you know, Galway were, they were losing, but they were calm, and they didn't seem to be too worried about Armagh, and you know, they were able to turn them over then in the second half. I'd say Armagh fans are frustrated watching that now, because there would have been a lot of optimism coming into this year, but it's just it's not good.
Even the goal they got, there was talks whether it was a foul, but I think the goalie has to be stronger there. He just got nudged in by his arse. There was nothing in, but that's what a high ball does. It causes panic. Mm-hmm. Like, you have someone like Rian O'Neill, Murnin, and they're big men, but they're not just big awkward lumps. They're good footballers. And look, Rian O'Neill has been kicking a couple of buttes from out the field. But you're not going to win many games on them, or you're definitely not going to win championships on a couple of outrageous scores.
Yeah,
they'll make the highlight reels, they'll look great, but that's not what you want. You want him getting them scores inside the 30-yard line where he's tapping them all for fun. Percentage shots, instead of him getting two, maybe three worldies from 45 yards, you want him getting six and seven tap overs, even punch him over the bar. Dar Canavan's doing it for Tyrone on a regular basis. But yeah, I find it quite confusing. Obviously, they were doing so much so well last year. They have great talent up there. Even my own buddy Donaghy's involved, and I look, maybe he doesn't have much saying it, but it's not a style of football I expect him to want to be playing. And you know, like, his game is all like basketball style movements and whatever. It was funny, I was actually listening to the commentary, and Eamon Fitzmaurice mentioned scenarios, and that was always a big one with Donaghy when we were training. He'd always mention scenarios and games. He'd be there, you know, over a couple of points down, there's 10 minutes to go. What scenario will we do? So, yeah, look, I actually think a lot of their players just look frustrated, to be honest. It doesn't seem like a style that's enjoyable for them. Maybe the plan has been to show a different side of their game, that they can be more defensively, I don't know. But I don't think they've kicked on from what they were doing last year.
No, it actually looks like they've regressed, if anything. And what was worrying too is that, like, that long ball that resulted in the goal, like, that came from Ethan Rafferty. And so much of their Like, it used to be Ethan Rafferty last year was like a bonus of an attacking option, you know, running deep and kicking great scores and long balls. And but now he's like one of the only few that actually do it. And, you know, when your goalkeeper is your main threat or one of them, like, it, things are maybe a concern. And they talk about setting up defensively to be more sound. Like, they've scored something like 2 goals this league campaign or something, and they've been really poor in that front. They're still conceding at the other end. So, you know, I don't see what point, you know, when's the give and take here? Is like the defensive thing, we're actually leaking more and we're not getting the best out of things going forward. Sean Kavanagh really ripped into them on the League of Sunday. He thinks the answer is just so obvious, and like, let the forwards be forwards and kick the ball to them and sort of push on from last year rather than ripping up the script and trying to go backwards. If they're trying to do, like, we're giving, in fairness, you know, we give Mayo a lot of praise, you know, for getting a good balance of a kicking style and a running game. You know, they did sort of change the script a little and get the best of both worlds. And maybe that's what Armagh are trying to do, and they just don't have, I don't know whether it's the organisation or it's not coming off for them anyway. And like, if they were to take one thing from Mayo, we were talking about it off air, like, all they had to do, not all they had to do, but one of their big factors this year was leaving Aidan O'Shea up front, getting the best out of him. And like, it just makes so much sense to do the same for Ray O'Neill. And why they're not doing it is it's head scratching and it's frustrating. And no one here is an Armagh supporter, but it's still annoying to watch.
Yeah, I think it is like that. It is annoying to watch. And whenever I see a team doing this, it just cries out to me that he doesn't trust the defenders that they have. So he doesn't trust the defence. But, and I can near, I'm very much, if you have six forwards, play six forwards to go attacking. I'm one of these old school, I'm a forward. Defend? What's that? I don't do that. I'm a forward. I like that style. But I can get sacrificing your two wing forwards. That's the game now, it is. Your two wing forwards have to be like wing backs. They have to be up and down, they have to be at a cover. And when you lose the ball, they go back and they shut out the middle. But they're sacrificing all their forwards.
Yeah.
I don't think they're getting anything positive out of any of their forwards at the moment. And we don't have to go through them individually again, but you could be rounding off names there and they're capable of winning games on their own, you know. But just the style of play at the moment, it's not nice to watch. It's boring to watch. And my thing is, I think they could be wasting a good opportunity to go to the next level. And right, McGeaney mightn't trust his defenders. That's all it's crying out to me, is I don't trust my defense. That's why we're gone so negative. But he hasn't got that balance right. For me, that balance would be you get your two wing forwards and you get two defensive minded players who can travel distance, and as soon as you lose the ball, they get their arse back and they're kind of between the wing back and the center back, and they're just blocking off that middle section. So the worst thing that's going to happen is you're going to concede a couple of long-range scores or whatever, but you're blocking the middle, so you're stopping the goals. And at least then when you do turn them off, you have bodies up and you can transition. And they have very, obviously, good footballers. They're very athletic guys, big, strong guys. And if you have them running from deep, they'll cause anyone trouble. So, look, it's just frustrating. I think, like you said, we just want, I was looking forward to seeing them this year. I thought they were going to kick on. They had a good year last year. I thought, next level. But who knows? Look, I don't know how a lot of these teams are actually approaching the league. I think it's been quite confusing this year. Mm-hmm. But on a Galway point of view, obviously they've Kerry next weekend. They've been very impressive. I think Joyce will be very happy with what he's got out of the league. He has an opportunity to get to a league final, which I think they should be going all out for. Obviously they have a bye in the first round, so they'll have an extra bit of a break than Mayo. It's an opportunity to get back into Croke Park, win silverware, get that habit. It's habit. It's winning. Getting into Croke Park, it's winning games in Croke Park. A brilliant opportunity for them. But like I said, they've got what they've wanted out of the league. They've developed a ticker squad. It's a lot deeper. A lot of lads have stood up and done really well. And even they've actually been able to free Sean Kelly out of the full back line as well, which I think is a huge addition to them. So, and like that, they didn't, I think it was 20 odd minutes till they scored yesterday, Niall. But they looked calm. There was no panic.
They're
going in the right direction. They seem to be, like I said, getting everything that they should be getting out of the league.
That was probably the most impressive thing about it, was that even though you know, Armagh were winning, Galway were behind, they weren't panicking. You know, Everton was fairly calm. Like, we know what we're doing here. We're going to have a wind in the second half. We'll be okay. And, you know, eventually it did, you know, the game went their way. And it was men like, you know, Shane Walsh was, he's back and he just makes such a difference. Like, he mightn't be ripping it up in terms of scoring, but he's just so clever in these little kind of moves he makes when he gets the ball, brings other lads into it. And, you know, I'd say of all the teams in the league, Galway would be, and Portrace would be as happy as anyone. Because, as you said, Darren, they've found a few new players. Other lads have stepped up. Like, we've been talking about Matthew Tierney the whole way through this league campaign. Dylan McHugh, Sweeney. These boys are all kicking on. And, you know, you've Walsh and Comer. And they're kind of, they just look like, last year, they obviously got to the All-Ireland final, but they look like they've improved and there's an extra sort of a confidence. And I think that showed it there yesterday. Like, they kind of just took it as it came. Armagh were kind of camping and parking the bus. And Galway were just like we're going to beat you eventually. And they did, like. So that was very impressive from them.
Yeah, and a player, just before we move on, Johnny Heaney, he's always Mr. Reliable for him. But he is, he's playing really well as well. He kicked two. I think the first point of the game was actually a beautiful score, and he got another one more or less straight after as well. So the likes of, like, obviously they have these new players coming in that are stepping to the mantle, but then you have fellas like Johnny Heaney, who probably doesn't get mentioned enough because he's just so solid and consistent all the time. You know, you're just getting it out of him. So yeah, no, look, I think Galway will be really happy. I think they'll relish the prospect of having Kerry above in Pearse Stadium next weekend. I think it's a great opportunity for him to lay down a marker as well that we're capable of beating you. Putting it in the back of Kerry's mind as well. It's never an easy place to go. Chance of getting to a league final. Chance of silverware. If I'm Galway, I am chomping at the bit. I can never understand a team not going for the league in terms of you've only three chances of silverware. The provincials, bar Ulster, maybe Connacht. They're not really looked at too favourably anymore. So you've only two really possible chances to climb the steps of the Hogan Stand and collect silverware. So if I'm Galway, I'm going all out for it next weekend, laying down a mantle, keeping the momentum going. And yeah, I think it'll be laying down a marker to Kerry and all the other teams for later on the championship, going into the Connacht Championship with a lot of confidence as well. Probably playing Mayo. Great opportunity to go up against them a week before they play Roscommon. So it'll be all good. And I suppose closer to home for you, Lee, Tyrone. Every time
we're back.
I'm not gonna say it because they'll lose next weekend then or something. But no, they played really well the weekend. Some really good scores. Obviously, Monaghan going down to 13 men wasn't ideal, but I think the damage was done. Some of the football Tyrone played is what we were hoping to see when we started naming off some of their players like that. They're getting the best out of their forwards, what Armagh aren't at the moment. But even there, like, I just think they have a good balance around the place. Obviously, Derek Hanneman is flying around the place. Matty Donnelly is putting his influence in the game. Darren McCurry, like, that's your full forward line there, and they're all very different. And they have a good balance there now at the moment. They're playing well. Don't like saying it, but they played really well the weekend.
No, yeah, they definitely bring a lot. And they can bring sort of they can be diverse in how they attack as well. I think it's very interesting what they're doing. So they start with Matty Donnelly in full forward, but then he sort of vacates that position of sort of like a sweeper role to get more involved with the game. But
Are you going to try and do what Sean Kavanagh did, and he was bringing in a bit of soccer lingo, and he was on about false 14s and inverted wingers?
Yeah, well, I don't know what an inverted winger is, but I'm not going to, especially in Gaelic. But Well, Matty Donnelly, he leaves that space empty, and it leaves it for Brian Kennedy and Conn Kilpatrick, because you got these two, like, they're absolute mountains of men. You know, they're huge and they love a mismatch. Like, yeah, quite often they're found just isolated, maybe one marker, maybe just the goalkeeper. And then thrown, when they see that opportunity, they send the ball in long. And when it's not on, you know, then that's when they decide to play it through the hands. And they got two goals. The first one came from a penalty, but that was off the back of Michael McKiernan, and I suppose it is a soccer term, he basically crossed it. Like, you, one thing you're encouraged not to do, you know, you don't go to the corner and then cross it. Like, but it works so well because Kennedy was isolated in the middle. He caught the ball, went for goal, got fouled, led to a Peter Hart penalty. And then the second goal was near the opposite. It was Darragh Canavan creating space in a really tight area. A lovely little hand pass off to the runner, and Cormac Quinn got a brilliant goal, you know. So that was more runners and through the hand style of play, and the two goals were crucial in the end. I just think it's so much better watching them, yeah, because they did look lost and a little bit disorganized, but now they seem to be finding their feet a little. Kieran McGeary, that was his best game in a long time. Seeing him getting involved in absolutely everything, you talk about those sort of workhorses in the wing or half forward position. He's the epitome of that. Someone who's just brilliant on the ball and coming deep and then carrying it forward. And we're going to need everyone sort of to step up and refine their form, and slowly but surely we're getting it. And the biggest positive for me, though, is definitely Darragh Canavan. This is the longest we've had him without injuries. You know, there's a lot of expectations with him, touch wood obviously, but there's a lot of expectation of him, you know, even unfairly just because of his name. But every time he's sort of been coming onto the Tyrone squad, it's 2-3 games, then an injury, then he's rushing back, and you never get a bit of momentum for this. He's basically played this whole league campaign, and we're finally seeing the best of him.
Yeah, he got a point yesterday, very similar to the one he got against Kerry, where he burnt his man, went in and popped it off with the left hand. It's not often you'd be praising fisted points, but it was a great score. He's electric when he has the ball. He has intelligence. He finds these little dinky pockets of space, and he always looks for that little pop, dinky pass as well into the danger zone. But like we're saying, they just seem to have the good balance at the moment. And that tactic of bringing Matty Donnelly out in the full forward, or one of the midfielders going in, it nearly brought a goal against Kerry as well, that same tactic.
Yeah.
I don't know, was it Kilpatrick that day or was it Kennedy? But
Kennedy that day.
Was it Kennedy, yeah.
Yeah,
so it is a dangerous one because it's wide open, and look, it's going back to everything. Put the ball in and mayhem just happens, do you know, because it's the danger. Defensive teams don't want the ball dropping in, especially if there's a bit of one-on-one or two-on-two, because it could break anywhere. Or like the Armagh game, the goalie isn't strong enough, and next thing you know, it's in the back of the net. So there's so much, when you look at risk-reward, the reward is very high and the risk is very low, because if you lose it, you're miles from your own goal anyway. So, Niall, from a Monaghan point of view, look, they're looking for the Great Escape again. It seems to be a running league theme for them. But they fought hard, but the two red cards were just a disaster. I think McCarron's one, silly. You're on a booking, silly foul. It's a real forward kind of silly foul, to be fair. And the Lavelle one, I didn't really get a good look at it, so I don't know, did he pull across him, was it his legs or what was it?
Yeah, it didn't actually even show the replay on TG Cahir, and they didn't even show it at all on the Sunday game last night, but you could see it from kind of a distance in the game live. He was running back the field, Mark and Myler, neither of them on the ball, like two of them just chasing back, and from what you could see, it was just a tangle between them. But Conor Myler, he was raging. Like, he was down, he was beating his fist off the ground. And like, you're looking at him thinking, like, this man's after twisting it, like, do you know what, doing his ankle. He was up a few minutes later and he wasn't too bad. He was able to play on. He actually did go off.
That was a miracle spray.
Yeah. But in fairness, Lavelle didn't complain too much when he got the red. So there must have been something. And like, even when Myler comes off, he goes onto the bench and he sits down beside another one of the Tyrone boys. And he's just like, the second he sits down, he's like, you know, he's mouthing. And you know well what he's talking. He's like, for you know. it wouldn't take a lip reader to know what he's saying.
I was going to say, needs to learn from the soccer boys and cover them up with the hand. Yeah. Every time the soccer boys are talking, you think, geez, what are they on about? It must be very yeah. secretive there to be covering them out.
They're probably just saying, like, well, how are you?
That's probably what it is, yeah. I guarantee the cameras are wondering what we're saying now.
Yeah. Look, sure, McCarron got the red card straight after half time, and Lavelle's was only 10 minutes later. So that game was done. Tyrone could kind of just do what they wanted, like, from then on. And sure, when it's Monaghan, wasn't always going to be down to the last day, and there's going to need to be some bit of excitement with them, because that's just the way it always is. And I definitely wouldn't bet against them. The way Armagh are going, I could see them losing, and with Mayo looking good, and Mayo, like, you know, a bit of a dead rubber for them, I think Monaghan could pull it off once more.
Yeah, you'd be a silly man to bet against Monaghan, but you would have to imagine one of these years is just going to be a step too far. I'm with you, though. I wouldn't back against him. I think Armagh are going really poor. Tyrone are after turning a corner. That's going to be a tough game. I think it'll be it won't be soft anyway. I think there'll be a couple of cards flying around in that one. Because obviously Tyrone are in danger too. There's a lot of teams that can mathematically still go down if results go against them. An awful lot to play for. But Mayo as well. Mayo and Monaghan. Monaghan could do it. There's a part of me that thinks Mayo might rotate players. But there's another part of me that just thinks, keep going. Keep the momentum going. The confidence is brimming. There was no Killian O'Connor the weekend. It's a very strange one. I'd always like, momentum's a great thing. And there was a few people tweeting about it. They're talking about the heavy workload, the big work. If anything, the season now is, there's way less load in it.
Yeah.
Because the load is the training. Training was a nightmare. They're going to play the league final. And when you're winning, they don't knock a stir off you.
No,
you're actually good to go. You're bouncing. It's when you're losing or you lose a game, all of a sudden your legs are a bit heavy for a few extra days. But I think they're going, there's not much of a load. Like, the load has been taken off because the training's gone. Like, you can, like, the boys have played a lot of games, league games. Not a lot. There's been a few, but very little training's been done.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know? So that's your load. Like, and we were all watching the rugby the weekend. That's a load, playing them games week on week or every 2 weeks. Playing a GA game isn't. Do you know? Like, you see the hits and the battering the bodies are taking. I don't know. Like, you hear people talking about peaking, and you don't. The season is so short. Yeah. You have a maximum of 15 games, is it?
Yeah, it's something like that. Yeah.
15 games in 6 months.
Yeah.
That's
if you're smart about
break it. Yeah, it's like there's no load anymore. Well, the load was when you had 8 weeks between league and championship, and you had to go running for about 6 weeks of it.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Did you have, like, in your day, was it basically another mini pre-season before the championship league would end, and then it's
There was nothing mini about it. It was nightmare stuff. It was like, I remember one year we had 10 weeks. 10 weeks between league and championship.
Jesus.
Like, you could have gone and toured the world and come back and still had enough time for a pre-season. And training so hard at the time, you actually don't go out or nothing. You're so bait from training. Like, it could have been 10 weeks without having any drop of alcohol or going out or anything. And you'd be there going, Jesus, no, training's too hard. It was nightmare. You go through the winter slog to get ready for the league, and you go through the league, and even different stages, pitches are actually better now, but and not that it was that long ago, but the pitches weren't great, some of them, and they were heavy metal and muddy, shitty pitches. And then you'd finish the league and you're like, oh, great. Oh, no. We don't have a game for 8 weeks. And we'd play a couple of club games, but you were training hard. Like,
doesn't it just show how much better the? I know we were kind of half giving out about it, saying,
"Yeah,
is it a bit tight?" But, like, it's so much better than what it was.
Oh, look, I wouldn't wish that training on anyone. I hated it. Genuinely, it was awful because normally, like even 4 or 5 weeks, like, do you know what? The 4 weeks between championship games was a nightmare too. It was too long. But preseason, having to do preseason twice in a year, that's just mean. Like,
yeah.
Why would anyone design it? Yeah, oh, it was hard going. No, look, I think it's a bit short now, but like, I don't know, is there any balancing act with it? But I definitely think the load has gone out of training. Obviously, look, they are training like professionals now when they're at it. It is full on for the 6 months or whatever. But before, like, if you were getting to an All-Ireland final, you were back training maybe November, December, and then you were going till the end of September. So you had 10 or 11 months where there was no break, like.
Yeah.
Whereas now it's 6 months, 7 months.
I know we're sort of losing the trail of the running order here, yeah. But I'm interested in this genuinely. I was just, what is like a hard carry training session back in them days, like under Fitzmaurice Morris or whoever, like with?
I just don't, you know, they're hard to kind of call. Like they're different. Like even some of the game, like you'd have long running sessions, and then like your break would be a bit of football, but the football, that's not a break. You're running around after the ball and. You could be unlucky and be on one of the lads who the runs on knock a stir off like Dunica. it was just running session. Like everyone does the same. There's only so much you can mix up a run for a run. It's like you'd be doing short, sharp stuff, but back then there was a bit of longer stuff as well. I remember we were actually on about it over the weekend. We trained at Dr. Croke's at one stage, and I can't remember was it kind of during the league or after league or when it was, but we used to do these 400 meter runs, and there was a lad in with us at the time, Philip O'Connor. Man, could he run? And every time you get called into groups, you look around, oh no, Philip is in the group. Like, honestly, we used to be doing these one lappers, and he was a good lap or half a lap ahead of me. Like, and I was like, that's not even possible. He'd take off in a sprint and just keep going, and then he'd finish. And wouldn't even be blowing for air. I'd come back about a minute after him, and I absolutely purple. But yeah, no, like some of the runs, like some fellas didn't knock a stir off him. Anything over 100 meters, I was goosed. I needed a couple of minutes to recover. But yeah, it was just heavy metal. It was just taxing on the legs, and like you do a good bulk of weights as well. So like you'd be doing heavy weights on a Monday and a Wednesday, and trying to train on a Tuesday and Thursday running. And then the weekend, all right, you might be back with the club.
Yeah.
And you play the club game, and you know, you go back with the club, and there'd be some fella marking you, and he was looking to make his mark, and he'd be battering you around the place. And it was hard going. Obviously, you've taken that out now. Like, so the boys are probably better looked after now in terms of the load management. They keep track of stuff a bit more, but you don't have as many. Like I always said when I retired, it wasn't the games. It was getting from one game to the other, because you could have 3 weeks of hard training. By the time the game came around, I used to be gassed. Like I would bait, fit for nothing. So I think David way handier now. Back in my day, it was way tougher. But I do think it's possibly the downside to that is you get a hamstring injury and your year's more or less done.
You're not coming back.
But we'll try and get back on track, I suppose. We kind of lost the run of ourselves there. Kerry and Roscommon, I was chatting to a few of the boys before the game, and I was saying, oh, I have a good time for Roscommon. I kind of blow them up a bit on this podcast as well. I think they play a good style of football. They can do the running game, do the kicking game. And about 15, 20 minutes into the game, I was there going, oh, there goes my theory. Kerry are looking good here. First 15, 20 minutes, I was very impressed with Kerry. I thought they were kicking the ball a lot. They were a lot more direct. The pass by Tony Brosnan for the goal was outstanding. Unbelievable pass. And that's exactly probably why Jack has been bringing him further out the field. He has that vision. He has the ability to pick out passes like that. Obviously, it was a great finish by David as well. But they were motoring well, very similar to how they were against Tyrone. And for whatever reason, took their foot off the pedal and found it hard to get back at it. But from a positive point of view, I think the biggest positive for me at the moment for Kerry is Tony Brosnan. Jack brought him out the field for a couple of games. And I do think there was two sides to it. I think it was a case of, yes, he can do a job playmaking when Shawnee was out and Paddy Clifford was out and he has that ability. But I think a lot of it was, well, is he going to work hard enough for me? Is he going to graft? Is he going to get the ugly ball? Is he going to track back? Is he going to put his body on the line? And I think he's done that. I think we're starting to see a bit more confidence in him as well. I think he's feeling a bit more comfortable. I think if the championship is starting tomorrow, he's on that team nailed on. And he kicked a score in the first half. He kicked three, I think, in the first half. But he got one from the left corner inside the 30 and going across the goal. He barely glimpsed at the goal. And that was exactly what you'd see down here in Kerry in County League or County Championship. His shooting, sharp shooting is unbelievable. And it was just instinct. There was no thinking. It was no, is there a pass? It was just, got it, turn over the bar. And it's only when they showed the replay, I was just like, whoa, that was a ridiculous score. Like the angle, it was Stephen O'Neill-esque for Tyrone back in the days. You know them ridiculous angles, one that you're going, he shouldn't be going for that. And then it just sails over the bar. So, good start by Kerry, but I think Kerry have a lot to work on at the moment. I don't think Jack will be too happy. I think, survive in Division 1, great, but they're stuttering along. There's something, they're just not clicking at the moment.
Yeah, like they're not, they're probably not going full pelt, but I suppose it's a little bit, it's understandable, and, you know, they were a bit later coming back, and they're still not going too bad, like, you know. They probably just took the foot off the gas and thought we'd enough done, maybe a small bit the other
night. Can you keep saying we were a little late back? They're back a long time now at this stage. It's not like they're only back a couple of weeks. They're back a long time. I don't know.
2 weeks behind all the other teams, you know, in terms of conditioning and things, no?
But 2 weeks. Like, they've all the games played now. And I know, as far as I know, they're going on a training camp, which I think will bring them on and bring on the lads who have missed a bit. But, and I know a lot of teams I've played against have been quite negative. But I think Kerry are just struggling to get their main players into it. Like, obviously, David has been double and triple marked, and he still kicked 1, 2, or 3 or whatever it was the weekend, and I think it was 1-1 from play. They're struggling to get Paddy on the ball as much as they would like, and I think Shawnee as well. So that's a bit of a worry. So look, there's bits and pieces to it. I think they're shipping a lot of chances that they weren't shipping last year as well. I think Jack, look, he'll be happy to be finished league, and in one sense, there's a part of me that thinks he'll be happy that it hasn't been great, that he can give them a bit of a lashing.
Yeah.
At the end of the league, kind of going, lads, you've won one All-Ireland, get over it. We need to get back to basics, because there was a bit of panic stations at the end. They were lucky enough they could have conceded a penalty.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a lot of us to praise Roscommon as well. Like, they just have a serious, you know, never say die attitude. That's the self-belief in that team is nearly the best thing about them, and you can sort of never rule them out. So, like, they're just a really good team, so you're going to come up against really good teams. But you expect the All-Ireland champions, when they get a league or a lead that they had, you know, that they should be able to not close up shop, they should be able to maintain that and start to control the game at the very least, and even peel away even further. I'm not too sure. I suppose I'm just looking up from a Tyrone point of view, so I'm still a bit jealous. Like, I wish I was in Kerry's position. You know, they're handling it better than Tyrone did last season as well, after the All-Ireland win. It took them even longer to get any form of momentum going, and it didn't even last very long. But Sean Kavanagh said afterwards that he thinks that Kerry need a league final, which was the opposite of what you've been saying sort of all the, you know, throughout this league campaign. He believes that, like, they're not going to get huge competitive football in Munster, and that the league final would be another chance to help them, you know, catch up and make up those 2 weeks that we talked about.
Yeah, there's a part of me that agrees that an extra game would be great, but I actually think Kerry at this stage, they've won a lot of leagues in the last couple of years, and they're probably one of the only teams that I think don't need the league final, because that might paper over some of the cracks. Mm-hmm. And the other part of me is, I do think, like we said, I think they have caught up fitness-wise, but they could do with a bit of a block training, a week or two to zone in on stuff that you can really work on stuff. As far as I know, they're going on a training camp, whether it's 3 days, 5 days, 7 days, I don't know. But whatever it is, the amount of work they'll get done will be massive. And I always loved the training camps because they were brilliant. The speed of football on them was always through the roof. And in the space of a week, you'd get more than a month's training done. It was unbelievable. And the crack obviously was good and the bonding and whatever else, but the football side of things and getting yourself up to speed and getting yourself back into form was always good. That's why I don't think they need a league final. Obviously, the extra game, bit of competitiveness would be good. I do think, obviously, look, we know the Munster Championship has been poor for a number of years. I think Cork will bring something this year. I think they'll bring something dangerous, but I still think Kerry should be more or less cruising through. But I think they just need a week or two with the bodies back. Obviously, Gavin White was back the weekend, big plus, got man the match. Paul Gainey came on, Dermot O'Connor came on, obviously still Breen Begley and Stephen O'Brien, no action yet, so they'll need maybe a game, but maybe a block of training for them and a couple of club games be enough. By all accounts, Stephen O'Cumber could be gone for the year. That's what I'm hearing. Whether that's right now, I don't know. I heard.
Is that the hamstring?
I think so. I think, and I don't know, did Jack say as well the weekend that Darren Roach, who had a good start to the league,
yeah,
it's going to be out for a while as well.
He said they're both very serious injuries. You'd feel for a Cumberland. He's had a nightmare with injuries.
Yeah, and I was chatting to a fella yesterday, and he was there. If you go through all the players that come back from Australia, he said a high percentage of them struggle with injuries come back. But my fear with Stefan, I even watch him, he's very athletic. He looks too lean. He looks like a fella who will pick up knocks and muscle injuries because there's, like, he's a pure athlete. He looks like he should be on track and field. And, like, gee, you know, it's a lot of big hits. And he's a type of fella, like, will we ever see the best of him in Kerry? I know it sounds a bit depressing now just because he was injured once, but since he's been home, he's picked up a lot of niggles. Obviously, won the All-Ireland last year, didn't play any club football because he had his shoulder done. Came back, two or three games there. They hadn't played any full game. Now he's gone possibly for the rest of the year. So it's a big blow for him, a big blow for Kerry as well, because I think he showed in the bit of football that we saw him playing that he has a role to play for Kerry. He has a bit of everything about him, and he's the type of guy who just needs games. He needs plenty of football just to get the instincts back. I think that was the only thing lacking from his game the last couple of weeks that we saw him, is his instinct maybe a bit slower than some of the other players because he's missed so much football. But that's a big blow. Like, I think when you look at teams now, let's say we mentioned Galway and players they might have found, Kerry have only really found Donal Sullivan to come in for a bit of competition. The rest of them, Barry Dan's done quite well midfield. He was there before, obviously. But on that, nobody else has put up their hand.
Brosnan's really just a big plus that he stepped up.
He's a big plus. But, like, obviously, he was there last. Yeah. Like, he played up to the Munster Championship last year. I don't think he played any part in the All-Ireland series, which was obviously a big blow for him as well. So, obviously, Killian Spillane came on the last day, got a point. He's seen very little action. I'm hoping that Jack was showing him a bit of tough love. Maybe sometimes these things can help and put a bit of fire in the belly. Maybe he came on, kicked a good score the last day. So that'll be interesting to see. But I don't know. Like, I obviously, there's a lot more to be positive than negative about with Kerry. And I'm not playing the Yerra Yerra card or anything yet, but I do think they're struggling to get the best out of some of their players at the moment. Maybe that's just down to the tactics that they've been up against. But be honest, if you're one of the teams that are looking at Kerry going, if we're going to win All-Ireland, we might have to beat them. They have, like, they're getting a couple of wins already, but they're not getting the best out of some of their players just yet. They're not getting, no, they're only back a couple of weeks, so maybe I'm just being a bit negative or whatever. But I do think it'd be a bit of a worry that they're struggling to get a few of the boys into the game. But Roscommon will be very happy. Well, they won't be very happy, but look, there's still a chance they could go down too, but I think they've shown enough. I always think with a team like Roscommon, you need to stay a couple of years in Division 1 to really set your stall out. But I think they're probably going into that Connacht Championship, but they're looking at Mayo now and going,
phew.
We're going to go to Mayo now. Like, Mayo are Jesus, they're purring. Like, mentioned it earlier about Aidan Shea, and I'm delighted for him. Genuinely, I've openly said I'd be friendly with Aidan as well. And we've preached it with the style of play they played for so many years that it didn't suit him. But who would be able to handle that man top of the square if you're putting in decent ball into him? And 4 points yesterday, man the match. And even the point he got from play, I think it was only after 5 or 6 minutes.
Yeah.
But it was a subtle little celebration, but it was a clenched fist and it was a bit of a yes moment. Yeah. And it was like a bit of a relief, maybe a bit of confidence. It was nothing extra. Most people probably didn't pick up on it. But he has that in his locker. And you get a point today and a point the next thing is 2 points. And all of a sudden, all that talk, oh, he doesn't score enough. He doesn't need to score either.
Yeah.
As a full forward with the role he's playing, he doesn't need to score. But he kicked 4, 3 marks, 1 from play. You can actually see the confidence starting to grow in him. And having him there is freeing up so much space for all of a sudden a Mayo team who don't have forwards. All of a sudden, there's a couple of lads there who are pretty decent forwards. And then you throw in the bit of the bulk and the size of Jordan Flynn's and Matty Ruane's. Obviously, you mentioned Aidan already. McDonough's doing well. They have a bit of everything about them. And then you have someone like Killian O'Connor, who isn't playing a whole pile. He's been one of their best players. He's the top scorer in the championship, going, hold on a second, I want a bit of this. All of a sudden, he's chomping at the bit. Competition for places. They lose 2 brilliant defenders over the summer, and all of a sudden, a few more boys put up their hand. Like, McStayball is absolutely flying.
I'd say Mayo fans are just worried. They're like, do you know, we are getting, here we go again. Like, we think we're going to win the All-Ireland again. But like, they actually do. They have legitimate reasons to think, like, do you know, that they're definitely the informed team now. Like, and
but we're all feeling a bit foolish at the moment, because we all feel that if they're playing the All-Ireland, if you're playing the All-Ireland final in 2 weeks' time, my money's on Mayo.
Yeah.
It's hard to see anyone beating them just in the league, we'll say. Do you know, if they're playing anyone, you just fancy them. And I know I said Monaghan might beat them next week, but like, they're so, you mentioned it, Darren, they're all hopping off the ground. Like, Matt Ruane summed it up for me yesterday. He was bombing up and down the field. And just like, I remember seeing one support run he made from, I don't know who was on the ball, but he runs from his own fullback and just bombing it like a 200 meter runner down the field. And, you know, he's not the only one. They're all, you see Ryan O'Donoghue back in his own, that lad has an engine to, like, he never runs out of gas.
Yeah, and you're throwing in Conroy now as well. Like, Conroy got, I think it was for one of, he actually set up a point for O'Donoghue, but he got a ball around the middle and just took off down the middle.
Yeah.
Down the middle, burnt them all, popped it back, handy score. Genuine, like, for a long time.
Like Darren O'Sullivan in his prime.
No,
a taller Darren O'Sullivan.
Hey, whoa. But for a long time there, we were about, oh, Mayo don't have the forwards. And genuinely, you know, whether they did or didn't, I always felt it's unfair to judge their forwards when they don't get the ball quickly enough.
Yeah.
Do you know, you could be the best forward in the world, and if the ball isn't being kicked in, it's being ran in, and there's all these bodies around, you're going to struggle. But now they have this option. They have players around that have pace, that are good ball winners, that are running around the play. And then you have the other options of the bit of bulk and bit of size, and the likes of Aidan, the likes of Jordan Flynn. Dermot O'Connor is flying at the moment as well. There's so many players playing well for him. It's actually hard to keep naming them. Otherwise, you're just going to name the whole squad. But I think as well with the, just like, I think it was an interview I read at the start of the year, Padraig O'Hara, and he obviously has come back in as well. Like, but he was on about the giddiness and the excitement back training, and it does a lot for effect. They look confident. Now, look, we're not going to overhype too much. Donegal are very poor, and we're going to get on to Donegal, and Donegal have been very poor for most of the league, barred the first game against Kerry, where Kerry had nothing done and they beat him or whatever. But Donegal have issues, but look, we'll go off Mayo now, because we don't want to build them up too much. They'll be going mad. But
one thing though, I want to give that Colm Reap a shout out, lads. Like, we talk about, We've seen a lot of goalies struggle under high balls this year. I think it was four or five times he came out and just cleaned everyone in front of him. And there was no way the ball was getting past him.
Traditional goalie there.
Like, but as a goalie, you have license to kill.
Yeah, you need to be a madman just going straight.
Yeah. But like, if you're the goalie and the full forward or whoever it is coming in, more often than not, they have their back to you.
Yeah,
they're wide open anyway.
Yeah, you go up with your knees, elbows flying because you're not going to get pulled for it. No. Do you know, I can never understand why when goalies get kind of brushed out of the way like that. I said, "Jeez, you've licensed to go bonkers here." Like,
yeah.
But we'll go to Donegal. There's a lot of talk about it on the league Sunday as well last night, and you know, we don't know the ins and outs of everything, but it just seems to be. Obviously, the senior team aren't going well. Look, there was always going to be a transition when Michael Murphy left and McBurty gets injured. So it was always going to be tough. But there's just such a negative feel around Donegal. It's like they're doing their washing out in the open. I don't know, like our old buddy Eamon, no, it is a pity he went around to, well, maybe it's not because he'd actually go to town on it. I'd say the likes of Eamon, no, it's so disappointed and mad with the way things are going, like the likes of Carol Lacey, the boys talked about him online on TV last night. He's extremely qualified. Like the top of his game of what he does. Obviously, then you put on, he was one of the best, never mind defenders, one of the best players Donegal ever had. Mm. Was part of an All Ireland winning team.
Player of the year that year?
Was player of the year. Did he have three or four All Stars as well?
Oh, he's bound to have.
Yeah,
2011, 2012,
2014
for sure.
Yeah, I think he's four. But anyway, he has this plan in place to bring Donegal to the next level. And in fairness, Sean Kavanagh, he made quite a good few points last night, but he talked about the committees and stuff. And look, we don't know a whole pile about the committees, but there is such a divide between the playing group and the committees that kind of run it. Yeah. And to be honest, like, some of them committees aren't fit for purpose anymore. Fellas are on the board with 20, 30 years, whatever it is. And unfortunately, the way the game is gone, you need people, professionals now running GAA clubs, because the volunteer side of things, it's great. But there's that money involved as well. And I don't know, look, obviously we don't know, and you could bring on 100 people from Donegal and 50 might say in Carol Lacey's side and 50 might say the county board. I just think it's an ugly, it's going to leave an ugly mark like that. Rory Gallagher as well was tipped to be involved as well. And I know I think speaks very highly of him. Obviously, Jim McGuinness came out in an interview, and did he need to come out and say that? I don't think he did. I don't know. I don't know what your thoughts on it. It's a hard one to talk about a whole pile because we don't know the ins and outs of it, but it's an ugly mark for Donegal. And I think the fact that it's happening this year when they were always going to struggle this year.
Yeah.
This year was always going to be a struggle. But I think you would have got by on struggling. When you lose certain types of players, you know there's going to be a year or two where you have to find new leaders and whatever. But I think if you had the right structures in place underage or underneath, and you knew, look, sometimes you have to go backwards to go forwards, but at the moment you're looking at them going, they could free fall here.
That's it, because like you're waiting, like no one would argue this season is if it was, oh, this is going to be a transition season, but it's not even that, you know, they look like they're even failing to do a transition. And I know Jim McGuinness, came out and said he offered to be involved and they didn't actually get back to him, but he's had issues with the Donegal County Board before. I read his book and he talks about how after they won the All-Ireland in 2012, the county board then changed the whole league structure in the clubs so that they would play like their championship alongside the actual championship or something like that. But it meant that the club football was at its most intense when the county football was at its most intense. And he couldn't understand why they went over his head to make this happen. He said that it felt like they were nearly sabotaging him and the team for whatever reason. And he quite often actually went, in terms of sponsorship and for money and for like for hotels and buses and whatever else, he would ring people himself to try and, you know, get that under over the line, and he would say, don't give any of the money to the county board. Like, these are all the things he said, you know. And that's how, now look, he could maybe be the most paranoid person in the world, I don't know, but that's how distrusting he was of that county board. And it's sort of like when it rains it pours, because when you hear that, yeah, when they're playing poorly like that, and even with injuries and whatever else, and the stuff off the field is so bad as well, like there's an under 14 Donegal team that just aren't playing at the minute. You know, them boys are just, they're, yeah, just missing a year of football. It's a disgrace.
It's sad. They're look, Donegal are going to lose out in the long run, but it's the young lads who, it's the young kids that are playing, and you know, they want to play underage for Donegal, and like you said, they're the ones losing out. So look, hopefully they can find some bit of a resolution like that. I Jim McGuinness probably could have stayed out of it, yeah, being honest. And you know, like you said, you read his book. I wouldn't have read his book. After hearing that, you're going, is this another way of just throwing another little dagger in there as well?
Yeah.
Maybe could have done without it. But look, it is a messy one. They're getting relegated. But I think that's the least of our worries, to be honest, at the moment. And I suppose, look, we've kind of gone in and out of topics there, so we'll have to fly through some of the other stuff. But Dublin and Meath, Meath are in trouble. They haven't had a good campaign, but look, they survived. And look, Colm Murray was on with patience. Look, he, like, I praise him at the start of the league. He came in putting his neck on the line, but they went toe for toe with Dublin for a very brave call yesterday. Didn't work out, but lots and lots to work on for him. Dublin are stuttering along. I don't really know what to say about Dublin, to be honest. They're doing, yeah, okay.
It's hard to kind of judge, isn't it? Like when they're playing again in Division 2, but
yeah, I think that could be a 2. Like,
the one thing you could say is like Meath made it very easy for them the other day, in that they were so open, and like they were kind of bombing forward and didn't really, a bit like headless chickens, they didn't really know what they were going to do with the ball. We're kind of running into traffic and getting dispossessed, losing the ball really easily. Like, and like, you just don't do that against Dublin, because they're going to punish you, and that's what they did at the weekend. Killian O'Gara was probably the star of the show, but it was all too easy for Dublin whenever they got the ball. Meath lads were kind of, they were going forward and they weren't getting back quick enough. Like, they were just, they'd lose the ball and they'd kind of dilly-dally, like, and sure, Dublin ate them up. And yeah, it was far too easy. You don't really know how, like, I think Dublin are going well, and I still think they'll be, I'd nearly have them as favourites to win the All-Ireland, but
it's a big call.
Oh, there you go. There's your story.
You know what? You're living in Dublin too long. That's your problem now.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's so open this year, lads, you know?
Yeah.
So
it is open. And I just think it is very open. We all expected it to be open. I didn't expect the standard to be this poor.
Really?
I think the standard's been as poor as it's been in the last 5 or 10 years. I think, bar Mayo this year.
Yeah.
Mayo and Derry, Galway is slightly in it as well. But like, Derry are in Division 2 as well, playing a poor side of things. So bar Mayo, who are consistently playing the stronger teams, I don't think the standard's been good. I think it's been, a lot of the games have been quite hard to watch as well. I think we've gone back to a negative style of football during this league for whatever reason. I think but look, I won't go into that just yet. But Kildare finally got a win as well. Dara Kerwin got a cheeky goal, Lee. Not everyone can do them back heels, you know. Not everyone can do it.
I can't think of another player at all that ever did it.
Limerick are brilliant at getting the back heel goals against. But he was very good in general. I thought he was good all round. But some of their play in the first half was very good. Yeah. Kildare. Now, Limerick looked all over the place. But Limerick actually should have got a couple of more goals as well, and it could have been a tighter game.
It could have been, and Glenn Ryan was sort of saying that afterwards. He thinks that just maybe the confidence in Kildare was so low and the pressure so high that they were maybe making mistakes that out of character. Well, not out of character this season, because they've been so poor. But they finally got the ball rolling in that regard. And really, it's more of a negative story towards Limerick, because, you know, it sort of came out that the reason Ray Dempsey left was that the players themselves didn't agree with his man management, which is a a brave call to say after so early in the league, a new manager. And
yeah,
I mean, are they just writing off the season? Could they not have persevered to the end of the year and then had a meeting like that? Yeah. I mean, what are they expecting?
It's a strange one. I suppose a part of me is just thinking over the last number of years, 6 years they had Billy Lee, and they were on a great momentum. And Billy, and we had him on the podcast before, and he's a really nice man. Like, not saying Ray isn't, but he's a really, I'd say he's a really open guy. And they obviously had this fella, Billy, for the last 5 or 6 years, and get a new manager in. He wants to bring his own ideas. And sometimes when the momentum's going your way and then there's a change, you go, we don't want to go this way. Oh, this has been working well for us. So I don't know what the ins and outs. It's a brave call to come out and say that. And it's hard going. I don't know Ray Dempsey, to be honest, but he must be a good manager. He had a lot of success at club level. But sometimes things just don't fit. But it is a strange one, three quarters of the way through the league, for this to happen. My fear for Limerick is I don't think they'll have a good championship now either. And I hope that the momentum that they would have built up to this point won't disappear because of it. I actually know Mark Fitzgerald, who's gone in as the manager now. He's a good guy. Rahley's man was a good player, very good soccer player as well. So I'm hoping he does okay there. But it's a tough one for Limerick. And my other Munster compatriots, Clare, got relegated. I think they were very unlucky this year. Should have got something out of the Kildare game and the Dublin game. But yesterday, no, I think it was 50 minutes took them to score. Don't see that too often. It was very unlike them. I just think maybe the confidence had been sucked out of them. I think they probably knew going up to Derry that they weren't going to get the win that they needed. Niles saw it was a sad end for them.
It's nearly a testament to Derry as well, because when they did eventually score, the second point is coming to me now. It's Emma McMahon, and it was an absolute beauty. Like, and nearly just shows you have to do something special, not even to score a goal, but to score a point against Derry.
Yeah, sure. Even Keelan Sexton, right at the end, you know, maybe a token gesture goal, and they still managed to scramble it away.
Geez, that was unbelievable by Chrissy McCaig. Just one-on-one. It's like he was basically the goalie for that. And Keelan Sexton running in on top of him, and he just used his feet brilliantly to kind of confuse Sexton. Then Sexton bounces the ball right in front of him and kind of gives McCaig the chance. And he got the ball away then, but it was brilliant by McCaig. But the one thing I noticed was the second he got the ball out for 45, he looks over at the, I'm not sure which Derry lad it was that lost the ball, but he gave him the biggest debt there. Like, you know, you shouldn't be losing that ball, putting me in that situation. So, Derry are going fierce well.
They're going well, and you know, even getting the club players in so soon after they lost as well, I think it was a case of, right, we need to just keep building, we need to keep going, and they're just going in the right direction like that. Some of the teams that played Division 2, maybe the standard hasn't been great, but their level of consistency, their level of focus like that, the game was done and dusted yesterday. They're still defending that goal, that pride of not conceding a goal is huge. So look, they're definitely contenders. As we said, on form, you have Mayo, Derry, they've been very good this year. Like that, the standard maybe not as good. They're playing against Galway. Then there's a three or four others. So it's going to be interesting like that. A league final as well, Derry and Dublin. And this is going to be the biggest contradiction. Dublin will beat them in the league final.
You think so?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I just think it'll be in Croke Park. I think the Dubs aren't getting much credit. I think...
it is hard to see Derry beating them twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Derry will have got their aim of getting promoted.
Derry will be playing loud anyway, boys, so I don't know what you're talking about.
yeah, true, sorry. But yeah, I don't know, like there's just something in me that goes, you can't write Dublin off, to be honest. Like a bit of a contradiction, because they haven't impressed me, they've been quite poor. But I just don't think you can write them off. And they, I do, even going back to last year, When Kerry beat him without Conor Callaghan, they played so poorly in the first seven, possibly, maybe, could have, should have, what,
yeah,
could have won that game. So they still have quality all over the place. Even the late goal they got against Meath, Basquel's run, and he was after running a good 70 metres. And then he popped it across for a tap, for a palmed goal. That's Dublin.
Yeah.
I'm after doing all this work now. I'm trying to get my place in the team. Go for goal. Go for goal. Nah, it's a handy one. Pop it over. Yeah. That's Dublin.
That was class, boys. The second dummy was brilliant. Was to sell the second one was lovely. Yeah.
It was a brilliant run, but it was the easy part that I liked. It was, he's trying to get his place in the team. If he sticks that in the net, my God, we're talking about that goal for the full hour of the show. But no, there was a tap in, and that's what they always did better than everyone else. So it's only when they start doing small things like that, little decision making, you start going, right, that's more what we expected. It's not spectacular popping the ball across the 6 yard box or a tap in, but it's making the right decisions consistently, which I don't think they've done over the last couple of years. They've probably been given more license to be a bit more individual. But yeah, look, I think we're in for a very good last weekend of the league. I think the league finals will be interesting. It's gearing up nicely. I think the sand has been poor, but teams have to start pulling the finger out. Just before we finish on the Armagh thing, I'd rather lose playing well than lose playing that way. Do you know? If you're going to lose, at least lose getting the best out of your good players instead of finishing with what ifs. Do you know what? If we actually played to our forwards potential, we might have had a chance. So I'm going to love you and leave you while you talk about the shtick and the small ball.
Okay, now it's time to move on to the hurling, and the big game this weekend was Waterford v Kilkenny, but you weren't too impressed with this now.
No, it never really got going, Lee. In fairness, Kilkenny will be happy. They got the job done and they're into the league semi-finals now. They'll play Cork next weekend. But as a game, it was poor. There was, I think a lot of people have been giving out about hurling. Is it getting a bit more like football? Everyone's in and around the middle third. I think everyone's trying to play a bit like Limerick and just moving the ball with short passes. But they're not able to play it as well as Limerick. And it was breaking down. It definitely broke down a lot for Waterford yesterday. Like when you have a man like Desi Hutchinson, one of the most deadly inside forwards around, when you have him out in kind of midfield picking up the ball, just laying it off, it saps the energy of, I think, from the whole team when you see something like that happening. And David Fitz was talking after the game, you know, he was saying, I'm only in the job 4 months and I'm not going to change the world overnight. Do you know, that's a bit of an insult to Liam Cahill and the work he'd done. Like this, Liam Cahill had them in an All-Ireland final. They were the league champions last year. And I know they had a bad Munster championship where it all went kind of belly up. But like, it's not as if this Waterford team are a bad team. Like they've brilliant players, loads of brilliant players and young players as well. The likes of, you know, Caelum Lines, Desi Hutchinson, all these lads, like top class players. So disappointing for Waterford. They're out of the league now. Listen, maybe they didn't want to get to the league semi-final or final after what happened last year, but they certainly haven't been impressive. I think Tadhg Na Bhfirca was their best player yesterday, but there wasn't too many lads who were, you know, brilliant alongside him. Kilkenny weren't exceptional either, but they didn't have to be. None of their players scored more than a point from play, which kind of, I think, kind of sums up the game. Billy Drennan was brilliant, and you'd have to say he's kind of been the standout, one of the breakout players of the league. But yeah, look, it wasn't a brilliant game, but Kilkenny got the job done. Lee.
Mm-hmm. And the other game, Wexford lost to Limerick as well. Roy O'Connor out as a sweeper. That's a confusing one.
That was a confusing one, yeah. And I know Wexford fans were understandably a little bit confused about that one. Look, Roy O'Connor is one of those players. He's so good and he's so fast and fit and so good on the ball that you could play him anywhere. But, you know, Wexford are a team who, like, they don't have forwards they don't have forwards popping up the whole time. So, you know, when you have a lad like Roy O'Connor, you put him, I would say you put him in and as close to the goals, maybe even if it's wing forward, you know, just have him inside and within range of the goals. But look, Limerick, you'd always have expected them to beat Wexford. And they did. They beat them by 11 points. They were aided by, I suppose, like Mark Fanning was poor for that second goal, which is definitely a bit of a worry for Wexford that it's not the first time he's made a mistake like that. But Limerick are playing Tip now next weekend and Kilkenny against Cork. So you probably would say they've been the four best teams in the league. So maybe those games will, you know, the league will finally take off next week when we see it in knockout, I suppose. But the rest of the games probably went along expected lines. Tip beat Antrim. Galway beat Westmead by 24 points. Dublin beat Laois by 14. You know, it kind of sums up the league in the kind of imbalances there in hurling. There's probably just not enough teams at the very top level. I suppose talking about Dublin, you'd have to give a shout out to Donal Burke. He's 12 points again yesterday. He's won 55 in five games now in the league, which is an average of just under 12 points. So he's a man that's really on fire. But yeah, that's nearly all from the hurling side. There's Westmead and Laois are in that relegation playoff as well. So Laois are usually a good team to kind of step it up when it comes down to the real, you know, do or die stuff. So maybe they'll do that again. There was another big hurling game in the Crow Cup final, which is the All-Ireland Schools hurling final, and St. Kieran's College, even though they didn't win Leinster, and they've done this a few times, they come back and win the All-Ireland. And you know, I'm not sure how many it is they've won now, but they're the most successful school in the Crow Cup by miles, and they always seem to peak at the right time. I know Brian Dowling, the Kilkenny Camogie manager, he's a teacher in their school, and he's their manager. So it was a great win for them. They actually lost to they lost in the final last year. I'm nearly sure it was against Ardscoil Reach, a brilliant Ardscoil Reach team in Croke Park. But it was a great bounce back for them. And the main reason I mention it really is because they got three good goals. Anthony Ireland Wall and Ted Dunn got very good goals. But Donna Murphy's goal, he's a player who there's been a lot of talk about in the last while. He's from Mount Leinster Rangers in Carlow. He goes to school in Kieran's, but he got an unbelievable goal in this final. It's definitely worth watching. We have it up on the GAHO page on Twitter, but definitely worth watching. Picks up the ball around the half forward line, zips onto it, flicks it over one lad's head, and then as the ball drops down, he fires it into the top corner as a drop shot, like off the ground. It was sensational. Get even a football lad like yourself going, Lee. So that's how good that was.
That must be pretty good. And we'll have to give a shout out to the OMA CBS who won the Hogan Cup in what was a pretty dominant display. But that's all we have time for today. Remember to like, follow and subscribe to the GAR, and we'll catch you next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.